Daniel Mundy, MD. The Mind-Body Connection.
Dan, there's talk of the mind and body being inextricably connected. And how are they connected exactly?
Mind and body are inextricably connected. And it's proven over and over again in so many arenas of science that you can't separate mind and body. They're one integrated whole. We are this integrated system that can't be broken down into parts. And we can't say mind is here and body is here. That doesn't work. The problem is that for a few centuries, there was this pressure against looking at mind and body as an integrated whole. Back in the 17th century, we came out of a period of time where we saw the universe as this living, vibrant entity to that of the world as a machine. And with that, scientists came along such as Descartes and Newton, which solidified that concept because they were describing science and mathematics of a non-living world, of inanimate objects, and did some very beautiful calculations and enhanced our understanding of non-living systems. Descartes really looked at the world as a machine. He was very interested in clocks. The problem is they applied this model of a clock or a wind-up toy soldier to living systems, as if we understood the parts, the different components of the system well enough, we would understand how the system works, as in a clock. The problem is we're not a machine at all, or a clock at all, or a toy soldier. There was some pressure in the other direction then, a little bit of uprising in the 18th century with philosophers such as Goethe and Kant, who talked about a machine versus a living system and said that the parts of a machine exist for one another, but the parts of a living system exist by means of one another. Really, the original thoughts about a living system being self-making. But in the 19th century, the pendulum pushed even further in this mechanistic way of looking at the world. And by mechanistic way, again, we're talking about a reductionistic way of looking at living systems, where if we understand the parts, if we keep going smaller and smaller, and separating the parts from the system, and looking at components, then we'll understand how the whole works, which got perpetuated in the 19th century with the discovery of the microscope, Virchow, and then we had the germ theory of disease, which Pasteur helped with. And again, we're looking at then smaller and smaller ways of understanding the bigger living system. So looking smaller and smaller at cells to understand the whole system, looking at a germ in terms of why does illness occur, and really setting aside what's going on in this system. The reality is that the germ is only part of the problem when somebody becomes infected. What about the state of the host, the person, or the animal, or whatever living system gets infected by the virus or the bacteria? Why if we were to go outside and 10 of us breathe in the same bacteria that's floating around, one or two of us might only become ill with that particular pathogen, whatever it might be. And the idea of looking at what's going on in the system, what's going on in the larger whole, got set aside again to keep looking at smaller and smaller parts, which perpetuated this idea that mind is a part, all of the different parts of the body are parts, and looking at things in this very reductionistic kind of way. Yeah, in the 20th century, there was a dawn of a new biology that helped us to understand that the system and the larger whole, and understanding the interrelationships between the components in the system, were the most important thing to consider. For example, Driesch did the famous sea urchin experiment, where at the two-cell embryonic stage, the two-cell embryonic stage where there's only two cells to this developing sea urchin, he destroyed one of them. What he found was that you didn't get half of a sea urchin. You got a whole sea urchin. It was a little bit smaller, but the system regenerated itself so that the components of the system were made by other components of the system. No machine can do that. Only a living system can do that.
So, Dan, it sounds a little bit like, you're starting to sound a little bit like the physicists we've spoken to, because they've gone down into deeper levels of reality and now finding some kind of implicit order. It sounds like in your field you're finding the same thing. Do you see a connection between your field and what they're doing right now?
There was a debate in science for a long time, starting back in the days with Aristotle. What's more important when you're looking at a thing, substance or form? Substance being the components of the thing that constitute what this thing is, and form being the pattern of organization. And for a very long time, substance is what predominated. The pattern of something got lost in some way. What we found is that when we're looking at a living system, the pattern of organization that's going on inside the living system is what's most important, although we also need to understand the components as well. And modern day science has helped us to understand this principle as well. For example, in quantum physics, the smaller and smaller you look at the parts, the less the overall structure matters in a way. When in quantum physics you get down to the atomic and subatomic level, you don't have any things. An electron is not a thing, it's a charge. In quantum physics, what you have is a complex interaction of events, and that you're not left with any things. And that in a whole, at different levels of order, the things that you try to reduce to in a reductionistic kind of way, it doesn't work out. For example, the temperature of a gas doesn't really matter at the subatomic level. The temperature doesn't play any role in what's going on. For example, the taste of sugar is not present in the individual hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen atoms that constitute sugar. At that higher order of level, that higher level of order, you have the taste of sugar. So when you break things down into smaller and smaller parts, what you lose is the organization of the system. And you can't understand the complexity of the system by looking smaller and smaller at its parts. You have to understand the workings of the system, the pattern of the system. So the components are important, but the pattern of organization and the levels of order are important as well to understand how a system works. And so in all of the modern sciences, especially when they're applied to the life sciences, you can't understand the workings of the whole, the larger organism, by breaking it down into smaller and smaller components.